This message is aimed at fathers, future fathers, and men. And I hope that you ladies will join in with us and help me to say something to the men today. So Father's Day came around in 1910. I can't forget 1910 because that's the year that my daddy was born. In June 10th, 1910 is when my daddy was born. But the first Father's Day was in 1910, sponsored by Sonora Smart, who started this special day because of her father, William Jackson Smart, a war veteran, who was also a single father who raised six children. And so it caught on with her father, with her, to the point to where she wanted to do something nationally, and now here all of us are recognizing Father's Day because Sonora loved her dad and respected him so much so that she got involved in getting Father's Day started. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to probably move right along with the message, but I do want to leave some thoughts with you. And the first thing is, there's a lot of discussion that has taken place, and probably in the years to come, some more discussion will take place, and the question will probably be asked, who's most important in a child's life? Is it the father or is it the mother? And now I can tell you how God designed it. God designed it so that mother and father had a specific responsibility to raising those kids, and they are to be able to set the tone for the kids to follow. But now, one of the things that we've got to look at when we look at how God planned it. Now, brothers, I've said this a lot of times in recent years. I done reached a point to where I don't care if you like what I say or not. Don't make no difference. I'm too old to worry about it. And so I want to say to you, you have a responsibility, and that responsibility doesn't quit if you and mama don't make it. That responsibility goes on whether mama is there or not. You still have a responsibility. And I guarantee you, in my prelude here, I guarantee you that if you allow the Lord to give you a wife and you follow that, you will not be divorced. Now, how do you say that, preacher, when you've been divorced? Yeah. But I didn't wait for the Lord. One day, driving a wagon, pulled by mules, I drove by a house on a little hill and decided I needed a drink of water, went in, and there was a pretty woman came to the door and gave me a drink of water. 14 years old, I didn't know how old she was. But I said, that's going to be my wife. I told my brothers, sisters that. And they said, boy, you crazy. You don't even know who she is. I don't have to know. I know that. I'm going to marry her. I don't care what happened. I don't care if mama and them like her or not. I don't care who, what. I'm marrying her. And I did. And at the same time, one of the things that a husband needs to know is that there's a responsibility on your part to minister to your wife. Not just marry her and see how many babies you can get. Although I wanted 12, we got six. But the bottom line is you need to know how to minister to your wife. What do you mean minister? How to treat her. You need to know the things that she likes and the things that she does not like. And you need to be sensitive to the fact of spending some time with her. and your kids and all of that. So I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to go to the scripture in a few minutes just to share some word with you to let you know what your responsibilities are. And when I got my divorce 18 years in, we had both of us had gone to Tennessee State and gotten our degrees together. I graduated in June. She graduated, I believe, in August of that same year. And when she graduated, I said, all right, baby, we're going to go somewhere. But now guess what I was thinking about? I was thinking about we're going to go somewhere. We're going to come up with us. We ain't going to be no poor darkies. We ain't going to be none of them. We're going to make some money. And I went for it. And I made money. I said, baby, all you got to do, take care of the babies. But you got to remember, brothers and sisters, it's more to life than babies. It's more to life than money. It's more to money, more to life than just talking about it. It costs some time. And it ought to be time that you spend, not because you're coerced, but because you just want to be with her. And the same thing with your kids. Now, I'm going to go to the scriptures in a few minutes, but I'm already talking about it as I go. Because what I really want to do today is to talk to you concerning what the scripture lays out as our mission statement. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you all can look that up when you get ready. And also, you can put in your notes, if you keep a note, Proverbs 22 and 6, which says, train up a kid. So we're going to deal with those just a little bit, and I probably won't even read them. I'm going to just let you read them. But that's where we'll be coming from. So the theme I'd like to wrap everything around, calling all men, fathers, future fathers, men. Fathers, future fathers, men. Men. And I ain't going to take that too far, but I hope you heard what I said and read something in there. I'm talking about men, not pants, men. Are you with me? So since we're talking about men, that's what we're looking at now. And the responsibility is by the scripture that we've just read to you, spoken to you about, is calling for men. Now, these men that Ephesians 6 and 4 has relationship with are men of the house. Well, what do you mean, men of the house? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then will I do something about the condition. Now, what is it that I'm really saying? The call is to the men of the house. Am I talking about sinners and those who do not believe in God? Absolutely not. I'm talking about men of the house, who are able and are responsive and responsibility that God has given us to be the head and the leadership of our house. That's who I'm talking to today. So I'm not talking to sinners today. And if any sinners hear it and want to change your mind and become a member of the house, I shall be glad to have you. But I'm talking to men of the house today. I'm saying, let's look to God for guidance. So the scripture says then, the first part it talks about, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, provoke, I'm talking fathers now, provoke not your children to wrath. What are you talking about, boy? Ridicule. abused. I think it was last year or maybe a year and a half, a woman got a hold to her boyfriend and they absolutely did an 8-year-old son, put him in closets, all kind of ugly stuff until he died right here in the Antelope Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how in the world anybody could have kids and treat them in that way. In fact, I'm a believer in a spanking. I don't have no problem with that, and I recognize that the law don't want us to do that in the day. But if I was raising kids today, I'd still believe in spanking. But do I believe in spanking and with a ugly spanking? I used to sit down with my kids before I spank them, and my oldest son now, who's 65. He would tell you in a minute, he said, the worst part about getting a whooping from daddy, you get an hour's worth of talk and then a whooping. but he'll tell you today, if you would find him and say to my oldest son or any one of my kids that how did your daddy spank you? Well, he spanked us and told us that he hated to do it. Said, it hurt me worse than, and my son says, well, I don't know how in the world, he didn't tell me that while I was getting him. But later in years, he told me, he said, I didn't understand how you could say that and at the same time spanking me, talking about his hurting. I didn't hear you crying. I was doing the crying, you were doing the spanking. So the bottom line is, you don't want to ridicule them. You don't want to abuse them. Don't speak negative to your children. And don't speak with an ugly voice. You know, your kids need to hear something that's going to encourage them. Let me move on. I'm going to get stuck here. So one of the first things you want to do is not provoke your kid to wrath. Next, but he said, but rather nurture them. Nurture them. What are you talking about? Nurture them. Well, that word carries a lot of weight. Let me read just a few of the things that is included in this word, nurture. It means to tutor. Yeah. In school. Whatever they are doing, tutor them. If they're doing something you don't understand, learn how to do it so you can tutor them. Train them. My one, and I'm making a lot of reference to myself, but I'm going to say this in two ways. I was not a cool father. I rather a husband, but a reasonably good father, reasonably good, because I enjoyed my kid. In fact, there have been a many times after the kids, a whole bunch of them got up to teenagers, and they every so often they'd jump me in the house. We'd tear up the bed, knock over chairs, and stuff fall everywhere where we were wrestling. And they're going to try to beat me up, and I'm going to try to keep them from beating me up. And we'd have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And then when they got older, where they could really do me in, I thought, oh boy, I don't want to hurt you. But I'd be lying when I'm saying that, because my second son, when he got 16, he could press more iron than I could. I could get up to 150, 200 pounds, and he could get on up at 300 or so. And I'd tell him, son, if you want to have kids, you're gonna do something to yourself. So, but the thing is, he was just stronger than me, and that was all it was to that. So not only that, but be an example to them. Educate them. discipline with love, instruct, encourage, be a good listener to your children, so that when they come from school or whatever they're doing, if they need to talk about things that they want to talk about. My daughters even talked to me about living life as they grew up, my baby daughter and all of us. Today, even, and all the time, I talk to my daughter about what I'm going to do. Another thing, and I'm going to move on real quickly, is he told us not only to nurture them, but bring them to God by teaching them the knowledge and encouraging them to have a relationship with God. That's what we're talking about. Well, that's the mission. Quickly, let's look at three steps. Three steps I want to give you to accomplish this mission, and we'll be done. First of all, is develop and maintain the character of a godly father. Develop and maintain a godly character relationship, not just by your words, but how you behave and how you act and even how you treat their mama. Very quickly, pray for and work toward the character of Christ. Spend special time with God. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your family. Spend time. Uh-oh, my thing got stuck. Spend time with your family. Are you with me? Practice transparency. Of course, there are certain things that you don't want anybody to know. But I believe that if you have a problem with any family member, the wife or child or anyone, don't be afraid to raise your hand and say, I was wrong. Transparency. Let me see if we can reach a point to say this, that not all men marry or have children. But you can affect lives no matter who you are if you're a good man and have the character of Christ. Step number two, be a leader. Be a leader in your house. Use a heart of love even when you are disciplining. Seek to understand them. Understand what's going on with your kids. Because the kids have to go through a lot, even at school or wherever they are. Let it rest until the coast is clear. Don't always speak. If you're upset, don't speak. Be quiet until you're quiet. A family that prays together stays together. I didn't say that was in Scripture, but that feels good to me. And the last step, build a legacy. What are you talking about? Well, you thought I was talking about money, didn't you? No, well, that's included, but that's not what I'm looking at. Here's what you want to do. Use a heart of love. The principle of love. Teach your kids the principles of love. And the principles of love lead you far beyond the bedroom. Principles for living life. Just living life itself is a difficult thing. Principles for overcoming difficulties. Teach them how to get through those things. And then there's a financial well-being you ought to, every one of you. About 25 or 30 years ago, I put together a little plan for my kids so that when I do leave, whenever it is, and I ain't planning on leaving in a hurry, I ain't in no hurry or nothing. But when I do leave, I plan on leaving a little nest egg for every one of my kids that are still here. And then the last one, principles of building their own legacy. If something is broken in your family, fix it. With the Holy Spirit to guide you. I don't care if it's in the past or whether it's in the future. When me and little mama divorced, I didn't have no problem with saying to my kids, that is not what I want you all to do. I want you all to know how to treat your wife. I want you all to know how to treat your husband. Last thing I want to do, if there's anybody who's looking or listening to me today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for fathers and men. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have these words today. I thank you for the opportunity to have spoken and hopefully left my ugly stuff on the table so that other younger men can see and hear about my ugliness and say, I ain't going that direction.